Thanks, Eileen. Thank you very much.
It's a Ray Garcia Show on RTE Radio 1.
Good afternoon on this Monday afternoon. How are you? June the 8th, 2020. It's one of those days. Yes, it's a red letter day because things have changed considerably. As in from today, as you heard in the news, thousands of businesses have reopened for the first time in 3 months. There's more traffic on the roads. There are more people out and about. I saw Will Goodbody posted a picture from Dublin's Grafton Street and it looks like the pandemic never happened. And on Shop Street in Galway, Liam Silk, the town crier, brought his bell out and he was ringing it and announcing things.
Oh yay! Oh yay! Oh yay! Citizens, I can meet you in the Galway and chop a door to my cabbages. We salute the prosperity we have invested with and we congratulate you on this wonderful day, the 8th of June 2020. And remember this noble city bears witness to the ongoing contribution of the Cambridges over the years here in the City of the Triads.
Hey, hear ye, hear ye! Liam Silk, the town crier in Galway City, marking this day. And there are people able to do things today that they weren't able to do for the last 3 months. You can get six people into your house. Cocooners are allowed to bring people into their house, albeit at a social distance. So it's all good. It's all very positive. And you can feel it in the air. And the sun came out just to shine on the whole thing. The Pope, I see, has been cautious. And you have to be cautious. A nice quote from him. He says about the opening up of countries all over the world. The quote is, be careful, don't cry victory too soon. Follow the rules. They are rules that help us to avoid the virus getting ahead. So they're the words of Pope Francis. Sound words they are too. Let us know how your world has changed today. If you're back to work, if you're seeing people you haven't seen for the last 3 months, whatever. If you're travelling to one end of the county that you couldn't because you had your 5K restriction. Let us know. 51551 ray@rte.ie. I see there that secondary schools are due to begin sending calculated grades for more than 60,000 Leaving Cert students to the Department of Education from today. And if you are like I was at the age of 16, 17, waiting for my Leaving Cert results, you'd be going in your head, OK, that's done now. That's done. I can't do anything about it. The die is cast. So the die is cast because your teacher has decided what grade you're getting for your English or your maths or geography or science or whatever it is. And it's in the post up to the Department of Education. Now, they'll do some sort of algorithm magic on it because they have to put in where your school ranks and where you rank in the school and grades from previous years. So I don't know how that's going. It's sort of some sort of computer magic that they'll do. Abracadabra, diddly-doo and give us a grade for that person over there. That's the way it's going to go. But anyway, good luck to you. Good luck if you're one of the 60,000 people awaiting your Leaving Cert results. Saturday night in our house, and it was one of those occasions where we had the TV to ourselves, Jenny and I said, I'd love to watch a good movie. We don't get a lot of opportunity to do that because there's people wanting to look at things and they're not suitable or we're not suitable or whatever. Anyway, we had the TV to ourselves, want to watch a good movie. And this particular movie had been sort of teasing us over the last few weeks. You know, when you look and you go, oh, probably, oh yeah, maybe, The Assistant. I said, let's watch that, The Assistant. It looks good. I don't know if you know the story of The Assistant, but it's sort of reflective of the Me Too. Well, what sparked the Me Too movement in that it's an assistant set in the office of a movie mogul. And it's a point of view from her point of view. Anyway, it starts off and 10 minutes in, I said to Jenny, this is the longest scene setter I've seen in a movie in a long time. Because it was all just her getting into work, making a cup of tea, you know, not fine, but not movie stuff. And Jenny says, I think this is all it is. And I said, ah, couldn't be. Something has to happen. And then it went through her whole day. And then she went home. That was basically it. That was basically it. So what I'll say to you is, if you want a movie where something happens, if you want a movie where there's a bit of action, that's not the movie. And like, and I know, you know, they were making a statement, and I know that statement's important, but they didn't make it particularly well. I think it could have been a lot better. Anyway, that's the assistant. Not recommended from here. I'm just warning you. We watched Peter Crouch. Peter Crouch saves our summer. Peter Crouch is very tall. Former England, Liverpool, loads of other clubs. And he's a very funny guy. He wrote his autobiography. You would have seen him on Graham Norton. He has a podcast. So people in the BBC said, OK, we'll give you your own show. And it was obviously planned before COVID-19 kicked in. Peter Crouch, Save Our Summer. It was on for the first time on Saturday night. We watched it last night. I sort of liked it. I liked it because it was loose. And, you know, a lot of television now is so produced that nothing happens really because it's overproduced. But there was a looseness about this that I enjoyed, and there's a casualness about it, and he's funny and engaging and warm and all that. And I enjoyed it. Anyway, I looked up today on Google and it got slated by everybody. Nobody seemed to like it. Viewers, critics, they all said it was a load of rubbish. So what would I know? Stick to the radio. I thought it was good. I thought it was good. Anyway, 51551 Ray at RTE.ie. With thousands of businesses opening up today, we're going to do a little whistle-stop tour of the country. People we've spoken to in the past who are reopening today and see how it is for them. If you have any tales, 51551 Ray at RTE.ie. Conor Pope will be talking to us today, as he does every Monday. And the ongoing conundrum about foreign holidays continues. Vouchers, cash, cancelled flights, what you're entitled to. And Conor will be in to talk to us about that. And he also was out at IKEA this morning and in on Grafton Street. So his reports from all of those. So any questions for him, ray@rte.ie. And of course, the All-Ireland Quiz. Yay! Today, ladies and gentlemen, Wexford takes on Tyrone. And we are looking for contestants from both those counties, Wexford and Tyrone. If you're from Wexford, you can ring us at 1850-715-900. So if you're from Wexford, 1850-715-900. If you're from Tyrone, you have to contact us via email. And that's ray@rte.ie. ray@rte.ie. And we'll have two people on, one from Wexford and one from Tyrone, after the news or unoaked at 4 o'clock. I'll just say goodbye to that particular thing. Goodbye. And I'll say hello to a summer in Dublin. Good afternoon. Bagatelle, summer in Dublin. The nostalgia. Bagatelle and being a teen in the 70s. And somebody says, don't wish to frighten anyone, Ray, but summer in Dublin is 40 years old. It is not, P. Whitehall. It's not. It's not. Yeah, it is. I checked it. It is. Great song. I'm going into Grafton Street for a coffee, says Neil. And Reid Bagatelle, it's time for a sequel. One from the perspective of the drunk on the bus. Just what were his plans to get rich, asks Paul Kenny. And Leek Slibby's thrown down the gauntlet for Bagatelle. The movie, I watched the movie Sully on Saturday night. It was great. Brilliant movie. It's about the plane which landed on the Hudson River, based on a true story, obviously, in 2009. Tom Hanks plays Sully. Brian Johnson highly recommends it, and I would too. It's a brilliant movie. Nothing like The Assistant. I thought Peter Crouch's show was a bit of fun, but probably not in the right time slot. People would have been expecting something more polished at that time. And read Peter Crouch, I suppose you know what his answer was when he was asked, what would you have been if you weren't a footballer? He answered, single. Says Kay, I think his answer was a virgin. I think that was his answer. If I never watch TV again, I wouldn't watch Peter Crouch. How could you? Margaret Leeson and Evan asks. And Anne and Ellie and Patter and au pair Kira say, went into Burr today, bought sandwiches and had a picnic by the river and walked through town and bought the things we've needed for ages. A blender hose and connectors. Oh, look at you. Great to see Burr town opening up. Just a fabulous morning. Well, you'll have to put your blender hose and connectors on hold, won't you? I think there's a hose pipe ban, is there? It's definitely been talked about a lot. 51551 ray@rte.ie. We'll take a quick commercial break.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Wexford v Tyrone in the All-Ireland Quiz today. So we're looking for you, if you're living in or born in either Wexford or Tyrone, to step up to the plate and fly your county flag. So Wexford people can call in 1850 715 900. That's 1850 715 900. If you're from Tyrone, you can drop us an email to ray@rte.ie. In case you don't know, it's a general knowledge quiz, 5 questions each. We'll have you on after 4 o'clock. So Wexford v Tyrone, 1850 715 900 or ray@rte.ie. Now, today is also a big day for a lot of families who can finally welcome their loved ones into their homes. We spoke to Teresa Heavey and her granddaughter, Erica. How long ago was that, Teresa? Time is very confusing at the moment. How are you?
Hi, Ray. How are you?
Good to talk to you again.
You know, Ray, I've lost all track of time, to be honest.
Yes.
I've lost all track of time. I can't figure out how many weeks it was.
It was near the beginning of this. Near the beginning of this.
It was. Yeah. It seems like an eternity.
Doesn't it?
And still, it seems like not that long. You know, when you look back sometimes.
Yeah.
It's kind of a bit of both, you know, because you don't know what day it is, what week it is, what date it is. You know, you wake
confusing.
Up in the morning, is it Sunday or Monday? And all you know is it's today.
Well, today is Monday and it's the 8th of June and it's a big day.
And it's a huge day for me and for Erica.
Tell us why.
Because Erica is here playing in my garden today.
Great.
Without her mum or anything. It's just me and her.
Right.
It was for years.
Yes, remind our listeners about your relationship, because you were one of the people who got an iPad from us in one of those
I was, and it's brilliant.
Right.
We love it. It just gave us such a connection, you know, that we didn't have.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, we had phones all right, yeah, but that was grand. But you know, we can actually see each other and laugh and, you know, look forward and look back and everything. But yeah, I have a special bond with Erica because, well, I was there when she was born.
Mm.
So I saw her first before her mum even saw her.
You constantly remind her of that, do you?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, all the time we'll say, I saw her first. She's mine. She's kind of like she's my daughter, really.
Yeah.
Because I've minded her since she was born. You know, her mum's a single parent and I've just minded her since she was born while her mum went to work and went back to college. And, you know, her mum went back to college for 4 years and then she went to work. And so Erica just was mine.
Yeah. So
you
had this lovely, lovely bond.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I have other grandchildren and I love them to bits. But there's just something here because.
And the original restrictions really hit you hard because you couldn't.
They did because I had Erica every day in my life.
Yeah.
More likely 7 days a week, sometimes nights and weekends and everything. And then it was just like, it's gone.
Mm.
You know? It just changes so much. You don't be, you know, you take so much for granted and then it's like the door is shut, you know.
But the door's open again. Yay!
The door's open and I tell you, do you know what it's like? It's like, you know, you take your pot off, the lid off the pot of soup and all the steam, but you can't see the soup.
Right.
And then the steam goes away and then the soup comes, then you can see the soup.
Right,
you know?
So you can see the soup.
Yeah, I can see the soup. And she's here with me today, so it's a really, really special day.
So what have you been up to today now? What's the plan or what have you done?
Well, we had picnic lunch. We had chicken wings.
Nice.
Spicy chicken wings in the garden.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what we had for our lunch. And, of course, I had tea, but Erica only drinks water.
Yeah.
And we had that and a little bit of salad. And absolutely gorgeous just to be doing it again.
And just the two of you having the chats.
Just the two of us. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just the two of us having the chat, catching up on all the things that we couldn't do and, you know, looking at all the things I've been sowing in the garden and, you know, all the flowers that we usually plant, both of us like, but this year I did it all myself, and I was kind of missing her doing it, you know.
And are you making plans, Teresa, for the rest of the summer?
No, not yet.
No.
Ray, I haven't gone anywhere. I don't have to cocoon, but I cocooned anyway.
Yes.
So I didn't go anywhere. If I needed to go to the shop, I go at 8 o'clock in the morning.
Right.
And I'm home at 8:30.
Yeah.
So out of danger, you know, of any chance of meeting anybody or anything like that.
It was interesting on Friday when Leo Varadkar announced the lifting of restrictions and the speeding up of the whole thing.
Yeah.
We got texts.
A lot of people were a bit nervous about
all the restrictions being lifted so quickly.
Even though we want, everybody wants it.
Yeah.
But everybody's nervous as well. So, you know, it's kind of for the moment, it's bittersweet kind of thing, you know. There's so many people all gone loads of places today, but for me now, I'm going nowhere.
Yeah. Easy.
I'm going nowhere all this week.
So just cautious.
Let all the pandemonium die down before I go anywhere.
Yeah.
I survived without a shop or anywhere else for the last 3 months. And I love pennies, but I'll wait till next month for pennies. There's no way I'll go on Friday.
It's opening on Friday, is it?
I won't be there.
That was the big question.
For sure.
That was the big question in our house over the weekend.
Yeah, no, I won't be there.
And I said, you know how to use your phone for TikTok. Surely you can find out if Penny's is going to be open this week.
Yeah, no, so it's open on Friday.
Yeah,
it's open on Friday. So they can somebody else can queue up. I'm not queuing.
And this is a big question now. What have you learnt? Have you learnt anything about yourself, about the world, about anything?
I've learned that I need to slow down. I need to just slow down. I've been running and racing for years, running, doing everything for everyone. I'll do that. I'll be there. That's fine. I'll do that. Yeah, no problem. And I just find that I don't need to do all that.
Mm.
Do you know?
Yeah.
I'd be racing around worrying. I have a big garden to keep and I have to keep it myself. And I just find now that all, you know, since this happened now, I have the garden looking lovely and there was no pressure.
Mm.
You know, I wasn't, I have to cut the grass today because I have to be somewhere else or I have to be somewhere tomorrow or, you know, I could say, I could cut half the grass. If I don't feel like cutting it all, I don't have to,
Is Erica there? Can we have a...
Oh, Erica's here. Erica's here looking at me.
Right.
She is.
Can I have a quick word with her?
Of course you can, she'd be delighted to talk to you. Okay, Ray.
Thanks, Teresa. I'm sure I'll talk to you in a sec.
Okay.
Hi, Erica.
Hi.
How are you?
Good.
Is this a very special day for you?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. What's it like being able to go into Granny's house again and see Finn, the little dog, and have chicken wings?
Oh, it's really nice.
Yeah. How much did you miss your gran? Gone.
Too much.
Too much, right. You were thinking about it, yeah. Yeah, so this is a big day. This is a lovely day, isn't it? And your gran was telling us about her garden. Is it looking good?
Oh, yeah, it's looking really good.
Yeah. And what about the iPad? Was that something she used an awful lot during lockdown?
Oh, yeah, it was nearly like every day, probably.
Yeah, yeah. Now you can use it to go on TikTok or whatever when you're visiting. Right. Good to talk to you, Erica. Mind yourself. Okay, right. Give me back to your gran there and I'll say goodbye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye, Erica.
Hi, Ray.
Right, Teresa.
We've only one phone today.
Yes, yeah, yeah. Listen, good talking to you and great to hear
you
this.
Too,
good form.
You too, Ray.
We'll chat again.
We're in great form. We're delighted.
Brilliant.
Happy as pigs in muck now.
Great. See you, Teresa. Bye.
Thanks,
bye,
Ray.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye.
And RTE Radio 1. Text 51551, The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
51551, as the lady said, or ray at rte.ie. Catherine says there's a four-part drama on RTE Wednesday nights called Guilt, which I love. It was produced by BBC Scotland. It's about the death of a man, but it's full of black humour. I don't have a big array of channels, but I recommend it. There was a twist last Wednesday night that I never expected, so I'm looking forward to the last two episodes. Catherine sounded very excited there. Now we're going to do a tour around the country to see how various businesses are getting on today and how they got on during the lockdown. And our first up is Banagher and Jonathan O'Mara, who we met last year when we were on the show. Sorry? Oh, James Hennessy is first. Sorry. There you go. We'll get to Jonathan in a moment. How are you doing, James?
How's it going, Ray? Thanks.
Good. We'll get to Jonathan and Banagher. But first to James Hennessy in Kilkenny. How are you doing? So we met you when we were doing the Operation Transformation thing.
That's right, yeah, down in Stonyford, yeah.
You're down in Stonyford in Kilkenny. And that was just a few weeks before lockdown, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah, things were only starting to break. It was starting to spread around the place. We didn't realise it was going to hit as bad. I don't think anyone,
yeah,
my uncle could have foreseen it.
And the big attraction was your albino python.
That's right, yeah. Yeah, that was a big steel we brought with us that day, I think.
Right. So sort of a yellowy, whitish colour, huge thing.
Yeah.
And you were full of excitement because you were sort of stepping up your business, the National Reptile Zoo, and you'd gone from outside of Kilkenny into Kilkenny City. So it was going to be a big summer for you, you thought.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it was literally the season kicking off for Paddy's Day. It would have been our, you know, our big kickoff, and we're looking at tripling numbers and having, you know, lots and lots more people in. And then everything went wrong very quickly.
Yeah, and you weren't even open on St. Patrick's Day, were you? That was,
no, we closed literally the 15th. Yeah, so the 15th we shut the same as the schools. We thought that was it.
The best thing to do, right? Yeah. How many animals of various hues have you got?
So we've got there's over 100. I think it's about 170 or 180 at the moment.
Right. So
quite a lot.
And just remind us what the change was for you, the geographical change.
So from, we were in Gorn, so a little village outside of Kilkenny. So we were about 10 miles, about 12, 14 kilometres outside of Kilkenny. And we literally have moved into the roundabouts right on the edge of town. So walking distance from the train station, and you know, just ideally suited.
Yeah. A big investment.
Big investment, yeah. A year of building and of you know, new exhibits, new habitats, you know, bigger and better of everything. So quite a lot of money and a lot of time, huge amount of work between myself and all the staff as well.
Yeah. How do you pick yourself up after something like that, James?
I tell you, you don't go down in the first place, I suppose.
Is that,
I
mean, that it, yeah?
Yeah, I mean, it was a case of just kind of trying to keep everything moving, going forward. And like, I mean, in fairness now, people were absolutely fantastic. So, you know, we eventually had to launch a GoFundMe. We were kind of relying on pre-ticket sales that we're hoping when we reopen, you know, in the summer at some stage, that people would buy the tickets in advance and they were buying adoptions and things like that. So we were kind of living on that at first. And then just our costs are, as I don't know if you can imagine, like every animal is, they're a tropical species. So we've got to recreate the tropics. So our heating costs and our feeding costs, yes, and everything else is.
So say, for example, your alligator now, what would he feed on?
Yeah, so we've got two American alligators, Battle and Cece. The big guy takes about 3 chickens a week.
Right.
So 3 full. So not massive, but then when you've got 180 animals, something similar.
Right.
You know, that fills up.
So the food cost is quite substantial.
Yeah. Our biggest one is our heating cost, our electricity. Because we've got, like, most of our habitats are probably about anywhere between 28 and 34 degrees Celsius.
And they have to be maintained at that level.
Exactly, yeah, 24 hours a day, pretty consistently.
Okay, so today is a brilliant day for you then.
Yeah, we can finally plan. I think that the biggest issue for myself was not being able to kind of foresee where we can go, you know, at what time, when do we open, what do I budget for, you know, what's the worst case scenario. So now we can finally kind of see a light at the end of the tunnel, I suppose.
Right, so what's it looking like? How bright is the light?
We've had a few people, so it's still flickering. So we've had a few people this morning, as we expected. So we're kind of, you know, I mean, people are probably still very cautious,
yes,
I'm sure, about going into public places. We've done as much as we possibly can. We don't quite agree with that fact, but, you know, at the same time, still people aren't quite confident enough, I think, yet to bring their kids into anywhere. Like, so we've had a few people in the door so far, so good. And we've got bookings for during the week as well.
So you have to do all the social distancing and the sanitizing and all that. And
yeah. Now, we were quite lucky in that the new building that we laid it out, big enough that you could drive a car around it.
Okay.
So there's enough room to social distance. Every habitat for our exhibit to the public is more than 2 meters long. So each window is actually bigger than the social distancing requirements, you know. And then because of the animals and the number we have, our cross-contamination efforts are quite high anyway, so we'd have hand sanitizer all over the building anyway. Our keepers are very conscious of, you know, of any kind of bacterial infection and things like that. So the place is, so we're kind of ideally suited for it.
So the Taoiseach said he was going to save the summer, words to that effect. So do you think it'll be saved for you?
I'm hoping so. I mean, July, August will be our big, what keeps us open for the rest of the year. If we hadn't been open by July, you know, I don't think we'd have enough to to save us through the winter for the coming winter. But okay. I mean, fingers crossed now, people kind of get a bit of confidence and start moving and spending.
NationalReptileZoo.ie, yeah. and it's there, very close to the train station in Kilkenny, and open for business.
Open for business, yeah. And so it's just still trying to get people educated and into conservation.
Yeah. What did you get up to yourself?
The animals didn't know any difference.
So so you were working anyway, yeah.
We still had to keep these guys fed and heated, yeah.
Rightio. Okay, good luck with that, James. We might talk to you before the end of the summer.
Thanks very much, Ray.
Thank you. We spoke to Gwen Layden early on in the lockdown, and Gwen runs Georgia Street Arcade in Dublin City Centre, and she's on the line again. How are you doing, Gwen?
Hi, Ray. Can you hear me?
Yes, you're coming in loudly and clearly.
Super.
That's a good line. It's a super line, actually. Yeah. So Georgia Street Arcade reopened today. Yay!
Yes. It's fantastic. I couldn't describe it to you. You know, in 1892 it opened, and it didn't shut its gates until 2020.
Oh.
So, you know, it was 42 businesses shut down, and we're the landlords, we're a family as well. And it reopened today. And you know what I want to say, Ray? Every single business came back in. No one stayed at home with COVID payment. No one took the day in the sun. You know, business people are so... filled with courage and
resilience.
Optimism.
Yeah, and resilience.
They all
as
came
well.
Back in.
Yeah.
We're all reopened and we're all really delighted to be here.
And as James was saying, there was a trickle into his business. People are still a little bit cautious. Did you find that today so far?
Well, you know, it's a lovely sunny day in town, and I wouldn't call it a trickle, I call it just a calm flow. And but it's in no way dead. It's just a lovely. It'd be like Dublin in the 20s. And, of course, the arcade is always like Dublin in the 20s.
Right.
And people are kind of really civilised, Ray. You know, they kind of move around each other.
Yeah.
Like, we have a system put in place. It's easy to do one way in the arcade. And we're blessed because the high ceiling, it's a covered, but it's open air. And but, you know, people are just... I think Irish people will really appreciate everything after this. They're just really appreciative to be in town, to be able to look at a book. I'm in a bookshop that's been here for 31 years now, Stokes Books. The quiet spot I picked to take this call. But, you know, people are being just... I think people are actually... They recognise that the Taoiseach and the government have done a good job. They want to reciprocate that now by shopping carefully. And the businesses are the same. You know, we have mats every 2 metres apart. So you have to be on a mat to be shopping. So it means you're completely safe.
That's a good idea. So it's an actual mat. Because a lot of places...
Yeah, we put mats around.
Have tape on the ground, but you've mats. Yeah, right.
No, we put a standing mat 2 metres apart all around. And so that means you know that you're safe because you're 2 metres from somebody. We've measured it out ourselves.
Very good.
And so it means that when you come into the arcade, the George Street Arcade, you have your 42 businesses to choose from, but you're on a mat.
Okay.
You know, we have guys then at who've been with us for 30 years, Joe and Alex, at Joe Hennessy's at the George Street Gate and the Drury Street Gate, you know.
Are people wearing masks? Go on.
That's a good question, and they're not really great. They're, you know, I'd say people that are vulnerable are wearing a mask. You know, they've made the decision themselves how vulnerable they are, but they're keeping their distance. They're doing what Leo asked them to do.
Mm.
They're keeping their distance. I think the message has really come home. You know, and there are some people wearing masks. But there's nobody behaving in any way I would consider risky. I think they're just delighted that the country has done so well. They recognise that we have been, if we listen to the guidelines, we'd all stay well.
Yeah.
And everyone has come back well. And that's the biggie.
Yeah,
you know?
And people are just out for the sake of being out today, are they? I'd imagine.
Yeah, they are. Do you know, they're buying coffees, if you're in the coffee business, and they're looking around. And look, nobody's going to make money for a while. We're not going to be taking rents for a while yet.
Are you not?
And when we do, no, because you couldn't, Ray. Like, you're asking them to come in and open up, you know. And luckily, we had a year or two after the end of the last recession. And what businesses do then is they put money away and they keep it to spend it to get people through the next recession.
Yes.
And that's, you know, it's just about everybody surviving business. That's what business is about, you know. So if we can keep all our tenants survived and if everyone can tread water, and then we'll gradually reintroduce rent. Because there are, you know, they're good to come in, you know. And
I don't think other landlords would be as generous as you're being. It seems like you've been very generous.
But, well, you know, I don't know. Everyone has their own way of doing business. But, I mean, we have the same people here for the last over 30 years.
Yeah.
And I suppose we're very lucky. There's very few shopping centres fully open with every single tenant back in.
Every single one.
So that's
you're not defined as a shopping centre as such, are you? Because
It was Ireland's first ever shopping centre, it's an open, as you know.
Yes, it's a sort of more a market.
It's open city market. It's an arcade. I mean, I don't really know how you describe it, but it's a Victorian building, you know.
It's a beautiful building. It's a beautiful building,
It's the longest continuously trading shopping centre in Europe, actually, is what it's, and in Ireland.
Wow.
So it's Ireland's first. But it's not a shopping centre, no, it's not enclosed. It's called South City Markets, it was incorporated as, back when it opened in 1892. And it's the exact same, Ray. Not one bit of the architecture is different from that day.
You've done the maths on it. How many years is that? I could do it, but my head
might
explode.
Oh, my goodness.
Go on.
1892, when you're looking. So
128 years.
Yeah. I did a little verse during the COVID, when it opened first, it was built by British builders,
right.
And the locals were upset that they weren't included in the opening night. All the dignitaries were included, and they burnt it down pretty quickly afterwards, and it had to be rebuilt.
Right.
And they used local labour, and then the locals supported it. And it's just a good message. You have to shop local, use local labour. And I'll tell you something else, Ray, about here, and it's just only in the light of what you see on the TV in America. We have, you know, different nationalities now, you know. Like a man from Nepal is there with his shop, and his shop actually sells Irish tourist goods, you know. There's a great feeling of connectedness with people from all over the world, and there's a lovely atmosphere. Everyone in the arcade sits happily alongside each other and works well together, you know.
When I worked in town, I just loved walking through it, you know, and even if I didn't buy anything, just there was a lovely atmosphere there. So
thank you.
So well done in reopening.
Yeah. We're delighted.
Great.
We're absolutely
It's a good day. Thanks, Gwen.
It's a super day. And thank you for RTE, because, you know, during this lockdown, it's so comforting to have the radio, you know, and I'm not saying that to humour you, and you know that, and it's great, and it's good to let people know what's going on around the country and around the world.
We felt the love, I have to say. You could feel it seeping through. It was
We like to talk.
We do. Right, Gwen, mind yourself.
Okay.
See you. Bye. Bye.
Thanks. Cheerio.
That's Gwen Layden there, owner of George's Arcade, George Street Arcade in Dublin. Now, Jonathan O'Mara is still in Banagher. How are you doing, Jonathan?
Good afternoon, Ray.
Good to
How
talk
you
to you. Yeah. So we met Jonathan when we were on the Shannon last year, as I said, and he runs Mid-Ireland Adventure, which does mountain biking and paddleboarding, which we did on the Shannon while we were there. So you had to close down then back in March. There wouldn't have been much happening then anyway, would there, for you?
No, apart from the mountain bike rentals and the tours, Ray, in Kinnessy, we'd have no one on the water at that time of the year.
Yeah.
But we were preparing for a very busy summer. A lot of our work would come from the English language schools.
Uh-huh.
So July and August would be very, very busy months for us. But unfortunately, once the COVID crisis hit Ireland, they were the first bookings to go.
So no Spanish students in Ireland this year?
No Spanish students or Italian students or German students. No, unfortunately, they won't be coming to Ireland this year.
Right. And they would provide income for an awful lot of people.
Of course, because they'd be staying local in local houses as well, I suppose the schools then would be, they'd be going to the schools then to be taught English.
And then it'd be guaranteed money for you, because you'd know they were going to be booked in how many days a week or whatever.
Yeah, well, we work with a lot of language schools all over the Midlands, not only in Offaly, but also, you know, in Carlow and Kildare. So... unfortunately, that business went. But we're concentrating on the domestic market, and we're very hopeful that we still will be able to rescue part of the summer, you know.
Yeah, so it means now, after the announcement on Friday, that July and August now. So that's 2 months as opposed to a month and a half.
Yeah. So, well, we've been open for the last week and a half. Just to, I suppose, from people within the...
The
5 kilometre distance. And we're getting great support from the local community. So we see a brilliant uptake in mountain bike rental and kayak rental and stand-up paddleboard rental. But I think when, obviously, phase two is opened today, so that's going to increase our capacity up to 15. So that's really kind of bring us back into play for the summer.
Great.
So we're hopeful.
And then there's not a silver lining as such, but like I just get a sense that a lot of people, although they may have planned to go abroad, probably aren't going to go abroad now, and that there'll be a lot more people staying in the country to holiday in July and August.
I think so, Ray. And another thing is that I think a lot of people will want to get out into the great outdoors now. We saw it, I think, just the weekend after the lockdown, the amount of people that were going to the beaches and to the parks and going hiking. So I think those people now were, you know, they're seeing what's on offer, and hopefully they'll come back to us.
Well, I'll just say from our experience that I would have poo-pooed paddleboarding a bit before I did it with you.
Yeah.
But highly recommended. Now, it's not as easy and sedentary as you would think. It's a good old buzz. And if you do with a group, there's a bit of crack there as well.
Yeah, well, we had great fun today.
Yes, we did.
Yourself and your radio crew came out with us. I think you said to me early on you thought it was going to be a little bit boring.
Yes,
but,
I did. I would have said
but,
that.
Yeah, well, a lot of people would think that, but I mean, it is. It's great fun. The paddle boards are very safe. They're 10-foot boards, so I mean, there's your social distance there already.
Built in.
Yeah, we supply all the wetsuits and the buoyancy aids and the paddles,
right.
You know, and
right.
You're with a qualified instructor, so it's dead safe. And the River Shannon is very safe. You know, it's a flat water, so it's... Yeah, it's a great activity to take up.
So midirelandadventure.ie and Banagher, and then from the 29th of June, you'll be welcoming people from all over the country who are enjoying what the Hidden Heartland has to offer.
That's it, Ray.
Yeah.
And also, I think, just if I could mention, on the 4th of July, we're hoping to run a wellness day, which would be a combination of yoga and a kayak tour and a healthy lunch afterwards.
Nice.
So we're hoping that there's going to be a big take-up in that.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
So midirelandadventure.ie, Jonathan O'Mara, thank you very much for talking to us.
Appreciate that, Ray.
Thanks,
thank
Jonathan.
You.
Thank you.
Bye.
Now, Conor Pope has been out and about in Dublin and its environs this morning. How are you doing, Conor? Oh, we take a break first. Okay. Thank you.
Tweet at Radio Ray RTE, The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Now, I was uptown in Mullingar, says Anna. How are you doing, Anna? And things seem to be back to before COVID lockdown. Lots of footfall, plenty of traffic, lots of children, etc. It was good to see. Not many wearing masks. I was wearing mine, though. Well, the recommendation is that you wear it indoors, in shops and on public transport. Conor Pope, how are you doing?
How are you, Ray? How are you getting on?
Good to talk to you again.
I just want to flag something, by the way. I've got a 2.5-year-old bouncing on a bunk bed right in front of me.
Okay.
So if you hear any screaming in the background and if I suddenly disappear, she's bounced off the bed. But
okay.
We should be okay.
You're working from home, but you weren't at home this morning. You were out at IKEA.
I was out in IKEA, and I have to say it was a very strange experience. There was an awful lot of people who were really anxious to go shopping, and I was there from about 8:30. Now the store didn't open until 10:30, but and there was already maybe 500 people queuing outside IKEA at when I was there around 8:30. So you can see that level of demand. And when I say the store opened at 10:30, it didn't actually open until 11:30 for most people, because what they did is they set aside the first hour for people who were elderly and vulnerable.
Uh-huh.
So the queue, and like what, you know, so then I spoke to a lot of people for an article for the Irish Times. And what I was trying to get a sense of was why people were there. I mean, if you could, you know, why would you go on a pleasant enough summer's morning to stand in the freezing cold in the IKEA car park waiting for the shop to open? And, you know, I had huge sympathy for quite a few of the people who were there, because there was people who had literally bought houses or moved into houses in the days before the lockdown.
Mm.
And had been living without a stick of furniture for 12 weeks.
Yeah.
You know, there was people who were sleeping on mattresses, and they were just really anxious to get their lives going again.
Yeah, yeah.
And one of the things that people do is they, you know, they buy furniture, they buy kitchens, they buy beds, they buy those Billy bookcases. And so there was a lot of those people. And I think they would have made up a significant amount of the shoppers. And then, of course, there was the people who just like to go to IKEA for a day out.
Yes. What time did people start queuing at, did you ascertain?
The first person, I spoke to the first person in the queue, and she had joined the queue at 20:40.
Okay.
So that was just after 5:30.
Knowing that
morning.
You'd have to wait 5 hours, and it turned out to be 6 hours.
It turned out to be 6 hours. So that's a long old time. And you must remember that there was no seating, and there was nobody giving out coffee or croissants, or there was no kind of fun to be had, because this wasn't really a fun type of affair. So it was just a case of standing for 5.5 or 6 hours, and then going into IKEA, which, as you know, and I'm sure all your listeners know, involves a whole lot of walking.
Yes.
Particularly now that there's a one-way system and you can't double back on yourself.
Well, there was always a one-way system, but they weren't strict about it.
Well, you know, you didn't actually have to follow it.
I know.
And years back, or at least last year, I actually spent a day working in IKEA for a magazine feature that I did. And they showed me all the little secret routes through IKEA, the ways you can get from, you know, A to Z without going through B, C, D, E, F.
Right.
And I have to say, I am now, like, I'm a ninja in IKEA. But to be clear, I didn't even get into the door, in through the doors, because the queue was so big.
I saw, and, there's a video doing the rounds, and the queue is very long. It sort of snakes its way out into the car park. Were people in good form?
Yeah, well, I have to give credit to Enda O'Dowd, who's one of my colleagues, who shot that video, I think, and he posted it on Instagram, and he was delighted because it went viral. The people wearing, like, I mean, obviously, you know, it's not a fun thing to be standing in line like that. And so it wasn't like it was any kind of really upbeat atmosphere, but people were by and large in good form. Now, I know you're talking about face masks, and what was interesting was two different queues. So there was the queue for the elderly and the vulnerable. That was on one side. And then there was the queue for people who weren't considered vulnerable in one way or another. And the vast majority of people in the elderly and vulnerable queue were wearing face masks, and very few people on the other side were wearing face masks. Yeah. And I think that's probably a problem that needs to be addressed, because as you've talked about on the show so many times, you're not wearing the face mask to protect yourself. You're wearing the face mask to protect everybody around you.
Yes.
So I think there probably needs to be a greater degree of compliance on that, in that regard.
IKEA is a warehouse of a place, so it's not the same as going into your local, you know, Pokey Super Value or whatever, if you have a Pokey Super Value or whatever convenience store, you know, where you would be very close to people. IKEA, you can you can keep a social distance very comfortably.
Yeah, and I mean, they were policing the numbers, from what I could tell, very carefully. So, they weren't letting everybody in at the same time. So they were staggering it. And I think that, you know, they would be watching people as they leave. And I spoke to a lot of people who were approaching it with military precision. I mean, they not only did they know exactly what they were going to buy, they knew exactly the aisle where the product was. Mm. You know, when you get through the nice, fancy, done up bit and you get into the big giant warehouse and there's all the brown boxes and you have to say, okay, my code numbers. So they had done their research to the extent that they knew exactly where the stuff was in the big warehouse. And I think that's what IKEA is hoping people will do, because, you know, we're not in a phase where people are going for the leisurely afternoon in IKEA, where there are people who desperately need to get stuff and they're going there to buy that stuff, and we should probably accommodate them at the expense of the people who just want to have a bit of an old wander.
Don't all retailers want shoppers to do that for the moment? That you know exactly what you want. There's no browsing. It's nearly like sort of just a collection point now as opposed to an experience.
Exactly. And that's what makes retail so difficult, and we've talked about the whole tactile nature of retail, and like that's changed, and I don't think it'll change forever, and I think, but you know, it has changed for now, and I think it's important people respect those guidelines. But you know, I have to say, this is another good news day, because it's nice to see people coming out and spending money and doing the things that they would normally do to, you know, as part of their everyday lives. You can slag people for standing in line outside a place like that for a long time. But, you know, some people might have been afraid that the products they were looking for would be gone. Other people kind of figured, okay, well, maybe everyone is going to be afraid of the queues today, so they won't show up. Whatever floats your boat.
So you left IKEA and you went into Dublin City Centre. I was saying that Will Goodbody posted a picture there of Grafton Street, and it looked like, pre-pandemic, it didn't look like there was much social distancing going on. What was your experience?
Well, yeah, I took probably exactly the same photograph as Will, because and what I put on it on Instagram was, it looks normal, and it does look normal. It was like any pleasant summer's morning on Grafton Street. You know, it was busy, but it wasn't dangerously so, and I use that word advisedly. It wasn't like you felt people were on top of you. The shops were very good at policing people, and they were policing people in a good natured way. Now, it's weird to be walking past the Levi's shop and to see the staff wearing face masks, or it's weird to be walking past an ice cream parlor and seeing staff wearing face masks, because it's jarring for us all.
Yeah.
But you know, there was a lot of good-natured, happy people. They weren't being irresponsible. And, you know, the people were respectfully of each other and they were minding their distances. And I think, you know, there wasn't this mad rush. And I think it was a really good idea to stagger the opening of the shops so that shops didn't open at 9 o'clock or 8 o'clock. Because that way the public transport was allowed to, was reserved.
So they opened
at
half 10.
To work.
That was one of
they
the
opened
yeah,
at half
things.
10.
Yeah.
And that makes sense.
And now, while we have you on, and we're running out of time, the thing that we talked about right nearly from the beginning are people's plans to travel abroad. So now people from anywhere in the country can travel to an airport as in from June 29th. Ryanair are back flying. So this has implications for people if they've booked somewhere in July and they don't want to go. What rights do they have?
Well, there's a couple of things at play here. First, there's the Department of Foreign Affairs travel advisory warning people against non-essential travel outside the country. And second, there's the quarantine period that is in place in this country for people who come back into the country. Now, with the Department of Foreign Affairs warning in place, anybody who travels outside the country on a non-essential journey loses their travel insurance. Now, we've talked about this a million times on the show, Ray. You should never travel overseas without travel insurance in case something happens. So people will be invalidating their travel insurance if they fly with any airline that's leaving the country, unless that advisory is lifted. And secondly, of course, if the quarantine is still in place, when you go off for your two-week holiday in Spain and you come back and you've got to quarantine for 2 weeks, most people wouldn't be able to afford that in terms of work time or just having their kids cooped up or whatever it might be. And the terrible thing that has emerged in recent days, in fact, is, and I had this confirmed for an article that we did in the Irish Times on Saturday, if you have a flight booked to somewhere in Spain, Italy, Portugal, wherever it might be, in July or August, and the plane takes off, but you're being told by the government not to get on that plane, you're treated as a no-show. The airline keeps your money, and you have no comeback. And there will be an awful lot of Irish families who will find themselves out of pocket by thousands of euros as a result of that.
That seems very unfair.
It's desperately unfair. And the thing is, most of the people who travel in July and August, the vast majority of them, Ray, are families.
Yes.
Couples and single people will go, well, why would I? They're traveling during school time, so that's peak time. Prices are higher. Most people and most families who have their holidays booked in January, February, December will have paid for the flights.
But can you not argue that it's not a holiday because of the restrictions placed by the various governments around Europe and our own about quarantining? It's an impossible situation. So we just can't fly, and it's out of our control.
100%. But having said that, a lot of countries in Europe, Spain is lifting its quarantine at the end of the month, and they're saying they'll be open for business in July.
Okay.
Greece, Portugal, they all want to be open for business. Now, it's going to be a different type of business. But the bottom line is that you have to follow the advice of the government. And if the government says, don't travel unless it's absolutely essential, well, I think it's kind of irresponsible to travel. And not only is it irresponsible, but it's potentially dangerous because you lose your trip.
But then the government then have to step up to the mark and compensate people.
And that's what Pat Dawson from the Irish Travel Agents Association said to me. He said that, you know, if the government is going to allow planes land and take off, well, then it should be covering the costs for the passengers who it's telling not to get on those planes.
Yes,
Now, I don't know if that's actually going to happen, but, you know, we're in this very, very difficult position. And it's very tough for families.
Yeah. And I see that Ryanair are selling an awful lot of seats. And somebody argued that a lot of the seats are being sold to people who have holiday homes in various places in Spain. So they can go to these places and quarantine for 14 days because they have somewhere to go.
Yeah, and that's well for them. But I would question, and industry experts and sources I've spoke to have questioned this idea that airlines are selling loads of seats for July and August. Because the reality is that a significant majority of those seats would have been sold pre-pandemic. Where is this extra capacity coming from?
Okay,
because if you're flying 30%, 30% fewer flights, and all those flights are already sold, you know, I don't see where this great surge in bookings could be coming from. Maybe they are.
Final thing before we let you go: did people not cancel? Did people not cancel? You know, planning ahead, not willing to travel to a foreign country and cancel their flights.
Well, if they did, they would have lost the money. You see,
all of the money, right?
They would have been playing chicken with the airlines, hoping the airlines would cancel the flights. Then they get their money back, or they get a voucher. So I don't think many people would have cancelled in July and August.
Okay, right. So this is ongoing.
It'll continue to rumble on for a long time.
Connor, thanks for taking our call from the bedroom. Good luck. See you. Bye.
An ishtosh and the free skeleton and nocta la marini huluan. Good Marion, thank you very much. 5 on 5, 5 on ray at rt.ie. Yes, it's that time of the day again. Time for the All-Ireland Quiz. And today, Wexford take on Tyrone. And representing Wexford from Buncloddy is Connor Stevenson. How are you doing, Connor?
How are you, Ray?
Good to talk to you. So, Bun...
How are you doing?
You're close enough to Carlow, aren't you?
In Buncloddy. Yeah, we're on the border of Carlow there.
Right. So you can go into Carlow and you can go down to the bottom of Wexford. As in from today.
I mean, if the guards ask me, I'd say I'm from Carlow. If I'm in Carlow and if I'm in Wexford, I'd say I'm from Wexford.
You're what they call a cute whore.
Yeah.
How has lockdown been treating you?
Actually, not too bad. It's just me and my parents at home. They're treating me like a 15-year-old again, but sure.
Right. What do you do for a living?
I'm a secondary school teacher.
Aha.
I'm on my summer holidays now.
Right, what do you teach?
English and history.
Right. And I believe you had no sixth year in the school. How did that work out?
2 years ago in the school, fourth year was made compulsory, so we had no sixth year, so we were lucky this year the way it ended up.
You were very lucky, weren't you? Didn't have to go through all that...
All that hassle, yeah.
All that hassle, yeah. And so your parents, are they of an age to cocoon or not, or what?
No, they're not that old yet.
Right, okay. So it's been pleasant enough for you then?
Yeah.
Yeah, and now you're officially on summer holidays.
Officially on summer holidays, yeah.
Right. Any plans? What were your... Any plans to do anything?
Well, if the weather stays like it is at the minute, I'll be able to sit out in it, but...
Right. So that's
enough for an aim here in the
That's the sum total of your plans. Have you ever represented Wexford or Carlow at anything?
I did a credit union quiz where I represented Wexford, but other than that, not really.
Well, that's significant now, seeing as you're involved in the All-Ireland quiz now. You're up against Colette Duffy, and Colette is near Oma in County Tyrone. How are you doing, Colette?
Hello, Ray, how are you?
Good, say hello to Connor there.
Hello, Connor. Good luck.
How are you, Colette? Good luck to
fine.
You too.
You sound like you're no-nonsense there, Colette.
That's right.
Enough of the small talk. Let's do the quiz. No, well, we have to do a little bit of small talk. What's your story during lockdown? Family, friends, anything to report?
Well, officially today, my husband would have been, his 12 weeks is up today. He was a dialysis patient. He's a transplant patient.
Ah, right.
So today would have been our first time out. So everything's going grand.
Ah, that's brilliant. And what about
we had a trip to the garden centre today.
Great. What you buy?
Oh, plenty. Hanging basket, plants, pots, everything.
Great. So that's a big day for your husband then, Anto.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Officially, just next stop's the pub.
Right. Not too much. What about your children?
I have two. Well, I had a son due to get married now on the 20th of June, but that's obviously been put on hold to next year.
Yeah.
And I have two children in Australia.
Aha. Okay. And how are they getting on over there?
I think it's not quite as bad as here. They're not as much restricted, but okay. They're doing okay.
And rescheduling the wedding, was that a lot of hassle?
Yeah, it was quite a bit of bother, yeah.
Yes,
He got a date in March and everything except the music is the same, so he got the same venue.
Oh, that's,
this
that's
thing.
Good. Right, yeah. Okay, that's good.
Happy enough.
Yeah, okay. Have you ever represented Tyrone or anything, Colette?
No, not at all.
Not at all, okay. Time for your county anthems. So for you, Connor, this is you, Wexford.
At Boulevard, when the sun was setting o'er the bright May meadows of Chamalier.
Go on, Wexford, and for Tyrone.
And the fortune I would seek the most, you all must understand.
Here you go, Colette.
To win the heart of Martha, the flower of sweet Strabane.
They all sound the same, just different words to me. But anyway, okay, good luck to you both. And just a reminder, no consulting Mr. Google or Dr. Google or whoever he is. Good luck, Connor, and good luck, Colette.
Thanks, Ray.
Thanks, Ray.
Radio. Connor, first question for you then. It's about Tyrone. The county colours of Tyrone are white and black. True or false?
False, Ray.
Yes, they're white and red. And for you, Colette, a question on Wexford. Which US president who was assassinated in 1963 had a great-grandfather born in County Wexford?
John F. Kennedy.
Is the correct answer? Second question, Connor, is an audio question. Can you name this band, please?
Dexy's Midnight Runners.
It is Dexy's Midnight Runners, which was a hit in 1982, long before you were born, but that's the correct answer. And for you, Colette, can you name this band?
Welcome to the House of Fun. Now I've come of age. Welcome to the House of Fun.
Madness is the correct answer. Yes, you're flying, you're flying. Question number three for you, Connor, representing Wexford. The rubber tree is native to which continent? South America or Africa?
South America.
Is the correct answer. Originally only found in the Amazon rainforest. And for you, Colette, representing Tyrone. Greenland is a self-governing territory of which country? Denmark or Norway?
Norway.
It's Denmark. It's Denmark. Okay. Yeah, you're still there. You're on two. Connor's on three. Your fourth question, Connor, is this. Another audio one. Can you name this movie, please?
So the next time we meet, I will not fail. I will go up to the six-fingered man and say, hello. My name is Inigo Montoya. You killed my father. Prepare to die.
Classic. Any idea?
I haven't
seen no.
The Godfather.
No, The Princess Bride from 1987. Again, before you were born, Connor. Okay, Colette, a chance for you to get back even with Connor if you can tell me the name of this movie.
If someone comes up to you with an attitude, you say, eat me. And if you want to shine them on, it's hasta la vista, baby.
Hasta la vista, baby.
Commando?
No, Terminator 2 from 1984. Okay, now we're on to the final question. Connor, you're on three. Colette, you're on two.
Okay.
So, Connor, you have the choice of going for a one-pointer, which would bring you up to four. If Colette went for the three-pointer and got it right, she would still beat you. However, if you go for the three-pointer, then Colette can't catch you, if you get it correct, that is. So the choice is yours.
Sure, we'll go for the goal, Ray.
Go for the goal, three-pointer. Okay, good luck with this, Connor. For 3 points, which of these European cities has the biggest population? Vienna, Barcelona, Munich or Milan? Biggest population, Vienna, Barcelona, Munich or Milan?
Barcelona.
Milan has 1,400,000. Munich, 1,500,000 or thereabouts. Barcelona, 1,600,000. Vienna is the biggest, 1,900,000. Now, hold on, you're still in front. You're still in front. You're on three. Colette, you're on two. Now, this is interesting, Colette, because if you go for a one-pointer and get it right, you're even. We go to a tie-break situation. However, you have the option of going for 3 points.
I'll go for the three.
You're going to go for the three, right, which will bring you up to five and bring you through to the second round of the All-Ireland quiz. Good luck with this for 3 points. Which of these American cities has the biggest population? Boston, Washington, D.C., San Francisco or Detroit?
San Francisco.
You say it with confidence.
I don't know, I'm saying San Francisco.
Detroit, 670,000. Boston, 690,000. Washington, D.C., 700,000. But you're correct, San Francisco, 880,000.
They're doing good.
3 points. Okay. Brings you up to five. You're today's winner. Connor.
Thanks, Ray.
Hard luck.
Actually, that's the way it goes, Ray.
Yeah, Connor, we're going to send you down a Ray Darcy Show mug.
All right, thanks very much,
Ray. And listen, enjoy your summer.
You too.
Yeah, thanks for talking to us. Good luck.
Bye-bye.
Colette Duffy, you are through, and so too is Tyrone, to
thank
the second
you,
round of the All-Ireland quiz. We'll talk to you in a couple of weeks' time. Thanks,
no problem.
Colette. See you now.
Okay, bye. See you. Bye. Bye.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Or 51551 for your text. Now, tonight on RTE 1 at 9:35, a documentary called Fearless Samantha Barry is on, and it follows Samantha Barry around during one of the biggest and busiest weeks of her life in the lead up to the Glamour Women of the Year Awards. And it also plots her journey from Ballincollig to the busy streets and the high-rise offices of New York. And that's where Samantha is talking to us from now. Good afternoon, good morning, Samantha Barry.
Good morning here, good afternoon there, Ray. How are you?
Good, good. Have you seen the documentary?
I have. Do you know what? It made me mourn the New York of November, because I'm hugging people, I'm going to the office, I'm out and about going to events, and it's a very different story at the moment.
Yeah.
So it made me miss that New York, I have to say, when I watched it.
Isn't it strange when you watch pre-pandemic footage, you nearly grimace when people get too close to each other. You feel like shouting at the telly, get away from each other, get away from each other.
And I'm such a hugger. Like, I'm going in for full hugs in a lot of the clips. And yeah, like, you're watching this going, oh no, don't shake that person's hand. Yes. No, do that.
Yeah. And as editor-in-chief of Glamour and the night of the big event, the Women of the Year Awards, you were hugging a lot of people there. Brooke Shields, Margaret Atwood, Charlize Theron, they were all there. And you were hugging them all.
But amazing women. I think that it is the craziest week of the year for me. And really, it's, you know, months in the planning, that event itself. And the team that came to do the doc, Debbie and Steve, did follow around what is probably my busiest week in work. But, but the culmination of it is this kind of fabulous event where all these amazing women get awards and they get held up. And yeah, to be part of that or to host that is really special.
How long are you with Glamour now?
So it will be, what is it? It's about 2.5 years now.
Yeah. And we've spoken to you about 1.5 years ago. You're editor-in-chief. And you were responsible for bringing Glamour from the shelves of newsagents to online. And that was a big job. We talked about it at the time. How's that going for you, and how has the pandemic affected it?
Honestly, you know, it was definitely the right decision. We were like 2 million in print. We're now 20 million every month in digital. So our numbers have skyrocketed in terms of how many people see us and watch us and read us and share us every month. So that took a while to get there, but we've proven that it was the right thing to do. It's interesting, during the pandemic, I think, you know, we're actually, our audience has gone up at Glamour. We're doing a lot. We were very able to work from home immediately because we were very digitally focused, which helped. We were very familiar with Slack and Zoom before we went into social distancing. And then, you know, we've changed. We did different covers around love in the time of Corona. We had a cover with Alex Morgan, who was pregnant during a pandemic. She thought she was going to be competing in the Olympics, but she wasn't. But we were kind of set up for it. I think a lot of people are at home and they want to read and watch and share more than ever before. And we're here for that.
And if you're doing a Zoom meeting for Glamour, do you have to dress up for it? Like,
there's only certain people I put mascara on for, Ray. No, when it's generally my team, I don't. I definitely do when it's Anna. When I've got my one-on-ones on Zoom with Anna, I do throw some mascara on. But no, there's a lot of sweatpants action been happening of late.
And the Anna you talk about is Anna Wintour. And she is featured in the documentary tonight. She says some very lovely things about you.
I know, that was really nice to watch, to be fair. I was like that. I think my... she talked in the doc about how I'm always on 10 screens, which is true. And I thought I was giving her the attention when she walked into my office, but obviously she thinks I'm on about 10 screens at one time. Yeah, it was lovely. It was actually really nice, actually. You know, you don't necessarily get to hear your boss talk about you on camera and what they really think about you. So that was a lovely part of it for me.
Yeah. And everybody says lovely things about you, which makes me a little bit suspicious. But no, it doesn't. I'm joking. It's the week leading up to the Women of the Year Awards, but it's also about your life and how you got from Ballincollig to where you are now, through RTE, the BBC, CNN, and then...
BBC accent, though, because it was like when they went back to the clips where I'm, you know, on air at the BBC, I have very clipped
BBC very pronunciation. Yes, you do.
Pronunciation. And so that made me laugh out loud, to be fair. But obviously that's at the time what I thought I had to sound like to be on air at the BBC.
Yeah.
So that was nice to look back at that as well.
And a lot has been made because you've been, you know, they've taken quotes out of the documentary already. You saying that you tried to get a permanent job in RTE and they wouldn't give you one. Now, aren't you lucky?
Look, I learned a lot. I use that as an. I talk to people about it. I was working freelance on RT. I was doing overnights on 2FM, and I was working on Radio 1, and I did shifts on Morning Ireland and over in the radio centre. And I mean, I was just out of college, and you know, in RT you go for those panel interviews, and obviously I did not perform too well in the panel interviews, but I was still working there every day. So I was very upset at the time, but I'm glad now. Yeah. I didn't.
There's some amazing scenes, like five or six people fussing about you. People, dressing you, doing your hair with straighteners and curlers and blow dry. So much so that the electricity goes at one stage. There's such a draw on the electricity in a hotel room. And then you're wearing, the night of the thing, you're wearing earrings that cost, what, $200,000, do they?
Yeah, they were borrowed, but I had to give them back. I borrowed earrings, for the red carpet, which is a nice perk, I suppose, of the job. But I think they were about $250,000 worth of diamonds on my ears. And I don't know whether my team trusted me with it. So obviously I had to sign that I was taking possession of them and sign them back when I was giving them back. But yeah, you don't want to lose that kind of stuff.
No. A lot of people have been talking about, looking at the world differently because of the pandemic and realigning our priorities and our value system and all that sort of thing. And how is that affecting what you do at Glamour?
It's really interesting because obviously the last couple of weeks in particular, we've always been wanting to highlight black voices and protest and, the women behind Black Lives Matters were actually one Women of the Year many years ago. So the last couple of weeks has really been a kind of a refocus on us. Are we lifting up all the right voices? So, in the last couple of weeks on the site, we're really promoting black-owned businesses in beauty and fashion. And we're really understanding what do we put down and what do we talk about and what do we focus on. So, for example, Glamour does a lot of beauty, and our audience really interested in skincare. They're not necessarily interested in buying makeup at the moment. Or, you were talking about what am I wearing in a Zoom call. A lot of the style and fashion we're doing at the moment is around in the space of comfort. And then when you're talking about culture, the protests and against systemic racism here in the US, it's not a new story, but we have to try to tell ways at Glamour that we keep telling those stories of the women at the center of it.
And have you witnessed any of the protests and what have turned into riots in some cases?
Went to protest on Friday, which would have been Breonna Taylor's 27th birthday. And that was actually quite emotional. And, you're in that crowd and you're walking up Fifth Avenue from Washington Square Park. And, there's thousands of you, obviously in face masks, but like you're saying her name out loud. And I think that, I found that very emotional, and I was glad I got to take part in that on Thursday. Mm.
Listening to you and your plans for Glamour, talking about women's finances and deprived women and all that, it strikes me that in years to come that maybe Glamour mightn't be the right title for it.
I know, it's interesting because it's the title that's been around since 1939.
Yeah.
But it's steeped in this history that has always been advocating for women. So it was like Glamour was the first fashion magazine in America to put a black woman on the cover. It was, it was the first one to come out as pro-choice and supporting women's access to women's reproductive rights. The title is Glamour, but it does so much more.
Yeah. The last time we were in, you were talking about the challenge of going digital, and you were saying there you're gone from 2 million to 20 million. But of course, those 20 million people aren't paying the cover price for a magazine. They're paying a lot less.
Yeah.
Yeah. So how is that going? That side of it.
Yeah, so it's a different revenue model. So we get a lot from commerce and affiliate links. We get a lot from events and sponsorship and branded content. It's not a consumer revenue drive that we have at the moment, but it's always been, it's kind of a mix of advertising, sponsored content, events, and now a growing part of the business is commerce.
Right. What's the family situation back in Ballincollig?
Well, my parents are in Bantry in West Cork.
Oh, Bantry,
now.
Sorry, yeah, right, okay.
My brother is a guard in Killarney, so him and his daughter and his girlfriend, they're watching tonight, and my sister's in Sweden, so she's I'm going to have to send her a link, I think.
Yeah, but there's only one shot of you with your parents, I think, that on Halfpenny Bridge. It's a lovely shot.
Oh, yeah. We went to the Winding Stair. It's my favourite restaurant in Dublin.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, Doc was more about my career than necessarily my family life.
Right. And on your career then, like you moved around very quickly and went up the ladder very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
So you've been there where you are for 2.5 years. Is that the longest mm-hmm. you've been anywhere? Or
No, I was at the BBC for four.
Four,
I was at
okay.
CNN for about 3.5, nearly 4 years as
okay,
well.
Okay, right. So that's your timeline.
Glamour.
Do you think, just a final question for you, do you think just on the digital thing that because a lot of people are talking about, you know, the demise of print, that things are going digital, do you think that's inevitable?
Do you know what? Like, we still do print on occasion. So, like, we do print around Women of the Year, right? But we don't do a monthly print. I still get the New York Times on a Saturday and Sunday, but I won't get it necessarily.
During
I don't buy
week.
Print.
Right, yeah.
Monday, Wednesday. I think I'm just looking at a copy of The New Yorker is the other thing I get in print. I think every brand, if they were steeped in publishing or even broadcast or RT, or everybody's got, everybody's moving towards a place where they're consuming your media company on different platforms. And
yes.
whether you can keep the core of that brand on, like, for example, Glamour launched on TikTok this year, right?
Right.
How do you keep what Glamour means on TikTok, which is a very, are you on TikTok, Ray? Very
no, my 13-year-old daughter is. She has
right.
been. Yeah.
They have dance moves on that, but they're still there. But now TikTok in the last week, you're talking, you know.
Yeah. It's interesting you say that because Sinn Féin were the only political party to be on TikTok before the general election.
I mean, that's a smart move on their
yes,
part, to
yeah,
be fair,
yeah.
right?
There you go. Listen, tonight, 9:35, Fearless, Samantha Barry. And it's a lovely, beautifully shot documentary and all the glamour you would expect from a big event in New York. And Samantha's in the heart of it. Thanks very much, Samantha.
Thanks.
Mind yourself.
Thank you.
Mind yourself. Now, that's it from us. Mary Wilson is on the way. We are back tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Enjoy the rest of your Monday and take care.
It's the Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.